And the Jones family, they're just such a blessing. I appreciate them. All right. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles, and we're going to turn to... Did I get this turned on? Yeah, I did, didn't I? Okay. Acts chapter 23. And as I mentioned earlier, you know, we sang about having a cheerful heart there in Proverbs chapter 15 and a merry heart. And so this message, as I mentioned, is entitled, Be of Good Cheer. You know, I was just looking at the amount of times that the word's used. There's a few times when it's used as cheerful. You know, God loveth a cheerful giver. There's cheerfulness. There's a few times it's used that way. But the word cheer is just used 10 times in the whole Bible. One time in Deuteronomy, another time in Ecclesiastes. And then the rest of them, four times, the Lord himself brings up the word cheer. It's always good cheer. And then the Apostle Paul, he was affected by the Lord encouraging him one time, and he used it four times. So we'll be seeing those today in regard to cheer, be of good cheer. Isn't it good to be of good cheer? Amen. You know what cheer means, is being cheerful, happy. It's a good thing to be happy. How many of you like to be bummed out? You just like to be bummed out. I don't like to be happy. I don't want to go there. No, we don't do that. We love to be happy. We love to be cheerful, and God wants us to be that way. Obviously you look around, we live in a world of woe. It's a world of disappointments, of discouragements. Somebody once said that it is certainly a veil of tears. We live in this, as we look at this life. I remember reading a bumper sticker one time, and it said this. It said, life is hard, and then you die. What a great outlook on life that is, right? You remember Jacob? Jacob lived to be 147 years old. But when he was 130, they had moved from Canaan, and they went to Egypt after they realized Joseph was still alive. So they moved that way. And Pharaoh sees Jacob for the first time, and he says, how old art thou? How old art thou? And he says, 130 years. But then he says this right afterward. He says, few and evil have the days of the years of my life been. Great testimony, Jacob, in front of a heathen king. Yeah, few and evil, that was Jacob for you. And then, Job said, man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of what? And full of trouble. Listen, it's just inevitable, folks, that disappointments and trials are going to come our way. And we are well aware that different people deal with them in different ways. When there's trouble, some folks meet it, right? And then others grab their stuff and beat it. So sometimes we've been guilty of both. So as a Christian, listen, as a Christian, if we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, it should never be our habit to cut and run like a Jonah whenever we're faced with trying circumstances or situations that come in our life. In fact, it ought to be an automatic thing with you and I for us to look unto God and to think, how are we going to take care of this? To look unto the Lord and to pray and think, wow, Lord, what are you going to do? What means are you going to use here in this situation that I find myself in? Because, folks, our situation is not doom and gloom. It's not. Not as a believer, it's not doom and gloom, but rather we know that better days lie ahead, and the one who lives in us is at the controls. The one who lives in us is at the controls, and yeah, you and I are going to go through some tight times. We're going to go through some difficult times, challenging times, but they're all set in place, and they come, and God has allowed them in our life. Nothing happens in our life that he hasn't first seen. And if we're reminded of that, then it puts us in a much better place to be able to go through some things for us as believers. So I'm speaking to believers here today. Now, if you're here without the Lord Jesus Christ, Obviously, it's my heart's desire, as I mentioned earlier, we want to see you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And that's our heart's desire, and that's our prayer for you. So we're going to take a look here in Acts chapter 23. I'll go ahead and read through these 10 verses. We'll have a word of prayer. But we're going to talk about this. The title of this message is something that the Lord said a number of times, and that is, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. And there's several reasons why. We'll take a look at those. But let's take a look at Acts chapter 23, verses 1 through 10. And Paul earnestly, beholding the council, said. Now, I'll just stop right there and give you a little backdrop. Okay, so the Apostle Paul was finishing up his third missionary journey. And several chapters before, it was his determination to get to Jerusalem. He wanted to get to Jerusalem. He wanted to witness. And he was just bent on doing it. And there were some prophets that said, Paul, if you go, you're going to be incarcerated. You're going to be captured. And then he's like, what? You're trying to break my heart? You're all this weeping and stuff. He says, I'm ready to die for the Lord. So he comes to Jerusalem, and he has an opportunity to preach to a mob of Jews and probably other folks as well. And he's preached to them, and he preaches how God had used him to take the gospel. And then he gets to that word, Gentiles. He says, and even the Gentiles have received the gospel. And once they heard that, they were like, we don't want to hear that. There were Jews that were just bent on, no way. The gospel they're not worthy. The Gentiles are not worthy to have the gospel. So they just tried to take Paul and kill him. And he was rescued by some Roman soldiers and taken into the castle. And then the very next day, he's going to stand before a council, a Jewish council comprised of Pharisees and Sadducees. And he's going to speak to them. And so we read here in chapter 23, this is where he's at. He says, and Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, men and brethren, men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. And the high priest Ananias commanded them that stood by him to smite him on the mouth. Just for saying that. He smited him on the mouth. Then said Paul unto him, God shall smite thee, thou whited wall. A whited wall is a hypocrite, all right? He said, God shall smite thee, thou whited wall, for sittest thou to judge me after the law and commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law? And they that stood by said, revilest thou God's high priest? Are you reviling the high priest? And Paul kind of backs up. I don't know if he knew it, but he just says, oh, I didn't know that. He says in verse 5, then said Paul, I wist not, brethren, that he was the high priest. For it is written, thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people. But when Paul perceived that the one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, men and brethren, I am a Pharisee. Remember, Paul was a Pharisee. The son of a Pharisee. Of the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am called in question. So he brings up the issue that he has been really arrested for, and he's using it because he knows the Pharisees believe in a resurrection. He's just going to say it here in the next few verses. The Pharisees believe in a spiritual life and a resurrection, whereas the Sadducees don't. They don't believe in a resurrection. So he thought, okay, this is a good opportunity to pit them against themselves. So verse 7 says, and when he had so said, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the multitude was divided. For the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. And there arose a great cry, and the scribes that were of the Pharisees, part arose and strove, saying, we find no evil in this man. But if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him, let us not fight against God. And when there arose a great dissension, so there was a dissension between those two parties within the Sanhedrin, the chief captain, fearing that Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go down and to take him by force from among them, and to bring him into the castle. So they're just after Paul. Obviously, it would have been the Sadducees because they were angered by what Paul said. And the Pharisee side didn't seem to see any fault in what he said. So you know it was those Sadducees that were coming after him. So with that, we've read those 10 verses. Let's have a word of prayer, and we're going to get into this message on be of good cheer. Father, we come to you this morning, and what a blessing it is to gather together as we have, and we've been able to fellowship with each other. We've been able to sing some hymns. We've been able to now open the Word of God, and we just thank you for the opportunity to be able to be here in your house. And we would ask, Lord, your blessing upon this day. We pray, Father, that you would do a work in our hearts. I pray, first of all, for myself, Lord. I don't want to get in your way. I really don't. And I want you to set me to the side. I know you'll use my voice, but I want the Spirit of God to do his work in every one of our hearts. Lord, I pray for those of us that know Christ. Would you draw us closer to you? There's probably many that are going through some things, or if they're not, then soon they will be, just like we all do. We go through challenges in this life, and you're always there to encourage us, to lift us up, to speak words of good cheer unto us. Would you help us to have ears to hear today and to let your word sink into our hearts, that we might respond differently when we go through trials than maybe we have before. And then I pray, Father, for anybody here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, that you'll work in their hearts, show them how they need Jesus Christ as their Savior today. And we pray, Father, that you'll do a great, great work in hearts today. We want you to be lifted up. I want the Lord Jesus Christ to be lifted up in everything that is said now. Help me not to say anything that I should not to say, but I pray that it would bring honor and glory to you. So we thank you, we praise you, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. So here is the account of Paul, who, again, by the end of his third missionary journey, was eager, as I mentioned earlier, to get back to Jerusalem and to take the gospel there. And that goes back several chapters. And so he was wanting to get there to have an opportunity to preach to the Jews. It was always Paul's desire, as you read in the epistles, or as you even see in the book of Acts, Paul always wanted to reach the Jews. Now, he was the apostle to the Gentiles, and God used him to take the gospel to the Gentiles in his missionary journeys. But he would always go into what place? The synagogues. He would go into the synagogues whenever he'd get to Thessalonica or Berea. He went to the synagogues because he wanted to talk to the Jews, and it always ended up in an uproar because they didn't want to hear what he had to say. There were some Jews that got saved, but very few, because the Jews had rejected their Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Apostle Paul had a heart for Jews, because he's a Jew, and he wanted to see his fellow brethren, or his fellow kindred. He wanted to see them get saved and to trust Christ as their Savior. But taking a look at this, as you notice in this chapter, as he speaks before this Jewish council again, called the Sanhedrin, He's looking, Paul's a smart man. He's looking, I know that they're at odds with some of the things that we believe. You know, again, he speaks about the resurrection, and it created some mayhem between those two different parties. But as a result of it all, I think his hopes was to see them divided. He ends up almost getting divided because they're ready to just tear him into pieces, as we read in verse 10. But this is where I want us to look at verse 11. Verse 11 says this, "And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome." So right here is where I want to start off today. It is right here where we have a tremendous key to victory for every one of us. A tremendous key to victory. Paul is the big topic of the moment. And his life is in all appearances kind of hanging by a few threads. I mean, he's almost pulled in pieces by this mob. He is like what David once said to Jonathan. He is but a step from death. That's where Paul realized, wow, man, I just barely, dodged that bullet. But you know what? He was ready to give his life for the Lord. But Paul has this secret weapon. Paul has this secret weapon, one that will keep him going. And it is nothing less than the word of the Lord. It is the word of the Lord itself saying to him, be of good cheer, Paul. Because it came from the word. It came from the word himself, the living word, Jesus. Jesus stood there and spoke to him the night following there, as we just read in verse 11. Folks, so often it is here that we sin against God. We say, like the psalmist in Psalm 77, "My soul refused to be comforted." Sometimes we go through some challenges in this life, and we just want to, you know, curl up in the fetal position and just go somewhere where, you know, nobody is, and just have a pity party. You ever done that? Yeah, we've all done that. And sometimes we just get to a point where we refuse to be comforted. But you know where we can find great comfort? It's in His Word. And Paul was a man of the Word, and the Lord spoke to him clearly, and He speaks to him those great words, "Be of good cheer, Paul." Paul was going through it, but those words just urged him on. He was encouraged and exhorted by what the Lord spoke to him about. I love that quote from C.T. Studd, who was a great missionary. He said, "His blessed word hallows me on." It spurs me on. We don't use that word hallows, but hallows means, yeah, to spur. It just kind of incites me. His blessed word means more than ever before, and hallows me on more and more, and makes me burn and dare and do for Him. That's what the Word of God will do for us. If we get into the Word of God, it'll begin to burn within our hearts, and it'll put us into a place where we want to go and launch out for the Lord and serve Him. And that's where the Apostle Paul is. So I want to speak to you today on taking heart from the Lord's words to be of good cheer. Let's look first of all at at the Lord's command to be of good cheer for forgiven sin. Be of good cheer for forgiven sin. Aren't you glad that you're forgiven? Brother John Jordan did a great job, as he always does in Sunday school, and he was in the Psalms, and he spoke to us out of there, and he spoke to us about how God is a God of keeping His covenant, of keeping His promise. And in that passage, it says very, very clearly, what psalm were we in again, brother? 25. Oh, Psalm 25. And that spoke to us clearly about how our sins are forgiven and our transgressions have been forgotten. They've been thrown into the deepest sea, and the Lord's forgiven us. And it says in Matthew chapter 9, I want you to turn there, Matthew chapter 9, and we'll just take a look at these first two verses. Matthew chapter 9. Let's be of good cheer for forgiven sin. If you're here today if you're here today and you know Christ as your Savior, then your sin has been forgiven. Amen? Well, that was a weak response. Our sins are forgiven. What a great thing that is. It says here in chapter 9, verse 1 and 2, "And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed." Now, this is the same account of the man that was led through a hole in the roof, right? They opened up a hole. This is the same account. It's just in the book of Matthew. And it says, "They brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee." Son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you. He could see that faith that he expressed. He saw the faith of those men that brought him, and that was a great blessing to the Lord. But he saw the faith of that man that was palsied, and he was on that little gurney or that little stretcher. Folks, let me say this. You might be down somewhat. There might be some things that you're struggling with, some problems in your life. But let the Lord's word sink in good. Son, daughter, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. If you're here and you know Christ, man, I'm forgiven. I have eternal life and the Lord's forgiven me. What could be better than that? Right? We used to sing to the kids all the different songs. And one of them was, you know, "Gone, gone, gone, gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Now my soul is free and in my heart's a song." And then "Buried in the deepest sea. Yes, that's good enough for me. All my sins have been thrown into the deepest sea and all my sins are gone." Yeah. Praise the Lord for that. What a wonderful thing to have your sins gone. You know, we get happy about things that are gone. You know, if you go to the dermatologist, yeah, he's looking at your scalp. The eczema's gone. You go like, yes, you're excited. Your mother-in-law's been at the house for 2 weeks, and you wake up one morning and you say, where's she at? And your wife says, she's gone. You're like, yeah, not my mother-in-law, but most mother-in-laws. We're happy when things are gone. But folks, our sins are gone. If you know Christ, our sins are gone. What a wonderful thing. The Lord has thrown them into the deepest sea, never to be remembered anymore. Jesus said this, or John said this, in 1 John chapter 2, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I think about what David said. David said this in Psalm 32, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Oh, David knew the joy of having your transgression forgiven, and it's all been covered. Listen, no doubt the Lord is encouraging us to be of good cheer. I believe he gets excited. I believe the Lord gets excited, and he made us that way. He made us to get excited. His word makes that plain. Yes, the Lord says, be of good cheer for forgiven sin. But he says more. I want you to turn to Matthew and Matthew chapter 14. So we're at Matthew chapter 9 there. Just go a little few pages further in Matthew chapter 14. And let's take a look here at verses 22 through 27. We sang about Master, carest thou not that we perish? We sang that hymn. Well, this is when they were out on the Sea of Galilee and things started to go crazy. And it says here, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples. This was Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. Straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they didn't know what to make of it. They were troubled, it says here, saying, it is a spirit. I mean, you know, they're seeing somebody walking across the top of the water. They said, it's a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Be of good cheer. It's I will be with you. So the second thing is be of good cheer when you go through great trials. And they were certainly going through some great trials. You might be going through a great trial right now. And the Lord says, be of good cheer, because I'm with you. I'm with you all along the way. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you. So when they cried out for fear, he got into their boat. They had wondered who was that out on the water. And it frightened them. They thought it was a spirit. It was the fourth watch of the night, which is right in the middle of the night, you know, 3-4 o'clock in the morning. And it's just not every day that you see somebody walking by your boat on top of the water, right? Obviously not. So that's just something that you just don't see. I remember, this was about 40 years ago, I worked for Altadena Dairy as a milkman. So we would get to the dock, and I did that for 7 years, Southern California. We'd load up our trucks. Most of it was home delivery, so we would be out into the neighborhoods by 3:30, and just dropping milk at the front door. Can you believe that? Yeah, way back in the, and this was probably about 84, 85. So we're talking 40 years ago, and there was a fella, and I was delivering in La Habra Heights, which I don't know. You probably never heard of La Habra Heights, but La Habra Heights. You guys know La Habra Heights. You remember there was a guy by the name of Richard Ramirez. Does that ring a bell? He had a little nickname called the Night Stalker. He had ended up murdering about 15 people. He was from Texas, but he, you know, relocated and was in Southern California. And it had been heard that he had been seen in La Habra Heights. And I'm driving through in my milk truck in La Habra Heights, 3:30 in the morning. I know the Lord. I was doing a lot of praying. I'm getting milk and coming out of the truck, and I'm like, was there some noise behind that bush? You know, just normal stuff. Yeah. So, you know, there's times when we can get a little fearful. So I was a little fearful at that time, but the Lord protected me. I never had an encounter with the Night Stalker. But let me say to you today that you may be going through some difficult times. You might be going through some difficult times that, you know, in your life, and fear is a real issue. Because listen, we're all painted with the same brush, and we all have an old nature. And yeah, in the new nature, we don't have those fears, but we seem to resort to the old nature a lot, don't we? Yeah, listen, I do. I think we all do. And we can become fearful. Maybe the baby is struggling to breathe. Those are tough times when your baby. I look at Hayden back there and Lane, man, he's growing like a weed. He's incredible. But he was struggling to breathe on a, he had an earring in his mouth, didn't he, a few months ago. And she had to take him to the emergency room. I think that was some difficult moments there for Hayden. And we got word of it, and we all prayed, and God was good. And they were able to get that little earring out of his throat, and he did okay. But how about when the doctor is called and brought the news of cancer? Man, I haven't had that happen to me. I look at my dear sister over here, Dee, and, you know, she's had to deal with this here lately, and even further back. But I'm so grateful for her. And I'm not trying to put her on a pedestal, but she's a lady of faith. And she knows the Lord, and she knows that, hey, you know, all right, cancer might take me out. I'm just going to be with the Lord. And I appreciate her walk. I appreciate her and Cecilia and their love for the Lord. But you think about, you know, maybe you just got laid off. Maybe you're like, how am I going to pay my bills? How is this all going to work? We have times like that, don't we? Or maybe it's just fill in the blank, whatever it might be. There are things that come our way that we struggle with, that we have a hard time trying to process and get through it. And yes, we know we got to keep our eyes on the Lord. I think of a man by the name of Jairus in Mark chapter 5. He was one of the rulers of the synagogue, and his little daughter, she was 12 years old, and she was at the point of death. And he sees the Lord Jesus, and he says, oh, please, could you come to my house? My little daughter's at the point of death. And the Lord had just had that encounter with the maniac of Gadara. And then as he starts to head with Jairus back, there was a woman who had an issue of blood. And she tugs at the hem of his garment. And so he stops. And the Lord says, who touched me? He knew who touched him. But he wanted to see her step out of the shadows. She was pretty quiet and pretty shy. And she stepped out. And I'm sure Jairus is like, Lord, my daughter, please, come on. And so that gets taken care of, and that woman gets healed of that issue of blood, and then the Lord comes back with Jairus, and they walk, they're heading back to his house, and somebody comes out from the house. They see Jairus coming down the road, and they come out, and they said, Jairus, why troublest thou the master any further? Thy daughter is dead. Can you imagine what Jairus would have thought right there? Can you imagine? Maybe you've had the news, that same type of news, and Jairus is, daughter's dead. And right then, I believe, it doesn't say that the Lord put his hand on his shoulder, but I'm sure he probably said, but he did say this. He says, be not afraid, only believe. And so they walked in, they walked up to the house, and the Lord Jesus and the parents went into that room, and that little girl was raised. She was truly dead. They came in, they said, oh man, the people in there were mocking the Lord. She's dead. What are you doing? And he walks in with the parents, and he prays, and that little girl is raised up again. But can you imagine the fears that he felt? Can you imagine what he was going through? So, folks, you may have some things that you're going through in this life, but just be of good cheer in the trials that you're going through. Just trust the Lord. And that's certainly something that I'm preaching to myself right now. I encourage you today to draw nigh unto God. Open his word. It will comfort you as nothing else can. Let him speak those words just as he spoke to the Apostle Paul, be of good cheer. Here is where you'll hear his blessed voice if you get into his word. I want you to turn now to John chapter 16. This is in the upper room. They had just had the Passover meal. They had just had the Lord's Supper for the very first time. We're going to have that tonight. And in John chapter 16, in verse 29, toward the end of the chapter, it says this in verse 29, his disciples said unto him, lo, now speakest thou plainly and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. And Jesus answered them, do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. Well, that was coming very shortly, because in not that many hours, he's going to be going onto a cross. He says, yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. And listen to what he says in verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of what? Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Be of good cheer. The third thing is be of good cheer because we have overcome. He says, I have overcome. Look what he was facing. In just a little bit, he was going to be faced with some angry, vile, wicked men that were going to mistreat him and strike him in the face and pull his beard out. And the devil was going to come out at full force on him to keep him from going to the cross. But the Lord said, you know, be not afraid. He says, trust in me. He says, in me you'll have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer because I have overcome. Listen, folks, be of good cheer because we have overcome. How good is that? We are, we've been given the victory. You know, we're taught as Christians to play your hardest. But if you lose, we're told to be a good what? We're told to be a good sport, right? And that is right. But still the same, it stinks, okay? Because I'm competitive. I hate losing. No matter what I do, I want to win. That's how it is. I'm just kind of wired that way. I'll be walking along the sidewalk, and I'll see two bugs. And I'll see a cricket and a beetle. And all of a sudden, it's like, come on, Mr. Beetle. Come on. Yeah, come on. Oh, no, no. Cricket's catching up on you. Come on, Mr. Beetle. Yeah, come on. Right here. Go, go. Yes, Mr. Beetle. Great. Oh, sorry, Mr. Beetle. Listen. Competitive. I'm competitive. Christ says, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I've overcome the world. I love the verses in 1 John. We won't turn there just for sake of time, but I'll read them to you. 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5 says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. If you believe that Jesus Christ is your Savior, you've trusted in Him, you've been born again, you've overcome because of that faith that God's given to you to use to trust Christ as your Savior. Listen, Satan's a loser. Satan's a big-time loser. If you're here without the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll just say this. I'll say it as kindly as I can, but you are on the losing side. You're on the losing side right now. And God doesn't want you to stay there. He wants you to be victorious. What does it say in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The first he, of course, is Christ. The second he, of course, is the devil, right? Yeah, and what does it say in Romans chapter 8 through that passage, verses 31 all the way through 39? But I love verse 7a, and all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We're more than conquerors. You're on the winning side. You've overcome. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ. He always causeth us to triumph in Christ as we look unto him and we let him guide us and direct us. And then finally, this fourth thing, be of good cheer in the hope of cheering others. Be of good cheer in the hope of cheering others. Acts chapter 23 again. In Acts chapter 23, where we were to begin with, actually, I'll read that verse, but then we're going to go to Acts 27. But it says there again, and the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. You're going to live through this, Paul, because you're going to testify of me at Rome down the road. And so then we get to chapters 27, and we'll get there in just a moment. So Paul was encouraged by the Lord in that dark time. Even though Paul was ready to give up his life, yet for some reason, it just threw him off kilter. And there was some fearfulness as he was in that own little chamber, and the Lord appeared to him and said, be of good cheer, Paul. Paul needed to be encouraged. And I have no doubt that the Lord encouraged him often. I mean, Paul was not perfect. Paul was probably, and we always say arguably, the greatest Christian probably that ever lived. I would have no problem with that. You just look at it and you just think, man, that guy was incredible. But he still had his fears. He still had his struggles. And Paul had become this political hot potato. And he had been bounced around to Felix and then to Festus and then to Agrippa. And because of the mockery of the legal procedures, Paul was forced to appeal to Caesar. He says, I appeal to Caesar, because you remember, he's a Roman citizen. And so he appeals to Caesar, and then thus his journey to Rome begins. And in Acts chapter 27, as we wrap this up, I want you to just take a look at how this all plays out. Because in Acts chapter 27, as they head on board this ship that is ultimately heading to Rome, it says here in verses 9 through 11, now when much time was spent and when sailing was now dangerous because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, sirs, I believe that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage. You shouldn't go, he's saying, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion, he believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. The centurion said, no, I have to go with the owner of the ship. We're going to take his advice and we're going to sail. Paul says, you should not do that. There's going to be a lot of harm. There's going to be a lot of damage. And then you get to verses 18 through 25. And they do encounter. They encounter that wind called Euryclidon. And there are these storms coming across. And it says here in verse 18, and we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, I love this, Paul stood forth in the midst of them, and he said, and there was 276 passengers. Well, you read that later. There was 270-some passengers. And he says, he stood in the midst of them, and he said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. I tried to tell you, he said. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer. Wow, where did he hear that from? I want to exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it that it was told me. And then just wrapping this account on the ship, you take a look at verses 33 through 36. And this says, and while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, this day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore, I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health. You think about meat. You think about how the Word of God is our meat, isn't it? We're to take on the meat of the Word. Well, they needed some physical food here. That's what he's saying. He says, for this is for your health, for there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you. None of you are going to be harmed. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then, what does it say? Then they were all of good cheer. They were all of good cheer. And they also took some meat. Listen, folks. He said, you don't want to take this journey. It's not going to work out well for you. Did they listen? No, they didn't listen. Then they go through what they went through. A tumult. There was a tempest. It was dark. They looked like their lives would not have been saved. And he stands up and says, be of good cheer. God's going to save every one of you. And then in a little while, after the 14 days, they had some opportunity to eat meat. And it says that they all partook and that they were all of good cheer. Listen, folks. People will follow your lead. Does that make sense? People are going to follow your lead. If people see in you, depending on where your sphere of influence is and the children you have around you, a spouse, a husband or a wife, others here in the church, maybe those that you work with, they see something in you. They see a be of good cheer attitude. And you know what it does? It just helps others. It just draws them toward that. You know, because we are all contagious in one way or another. And our attitudes are certainly contagious. And if we have a good spirit about us, and we want to honor the Lord with it, and there's always a good cheer attitude, God will bless it. And he'll bring some others along that way. Boy, isn't that something good to strive for? It certainly is. It's good for us to strive along that way. I believe what the Church of Christ needs today is some good cheerleaders. Not like those guys on the sidelines of football games, okay? We're not talking about those guys. But we need those to cheer us onward. We need those that, man, they're just a bright spot. You know, I was talking with Teresa over here and Carrie, and they're always such bright spots that sometimes I feel guilty. I do. I'd like to just say, oh, yeah, you know, Pastor Garcia, he's always such a beaming light. Yeah. No, not always. Sometimes there's heaviness. And sometimes I'll talk to people like that, and I just think, I hate you, because they're so happy. You know, I could name off a bunch of you, but I was having that conversation with them, and they're like, and you go and you ask them, how's your day doing? It's just great. The Lord's so good. And I just feel, why am I so down in the mouth? You ever feel that way? It's like, I have no reason to be down in the mouth. You've heard that phrase, right? I have no reason to be down in the mouth. Yeah, I'm just going to rejoice at what God's given to me. Look at what he's given to me. And you know what? God can use us to be a blessing to others that way. You know, we don't have to be a bunch of fakes, you know, like we can all, well, it's better to fake that than fake the other thing. But it's just good to have it legitimately. It's good for it to be really authentic, that we have a joy in our hearts for the Lord. We need to cheer others, don't we? Let me just say this again. If you're here without Christ and you're not saved, then the Lord loves you. The Lord cheerfully went to a cross for you that you could be saved, that you could have everlasting life. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And we would say to you today, and I would persuade you, if you've never trusted Christ, we want to encourage you today. Come up here to the aisle. We'll show you from the Bible. We'll sit down, and whether myself or somebody else, we'll sit down with you, show you from God's word how you can be saved. I hope you make that decision today. But let me just say this. Be of good cheer, folks, for sins forgiven. Amen? Be of good cheer that your sins are forgiven if you know the Lord Jesus Christ. Be of good cheer through great trials, because the Lord's with you, and he'll always be with you, and he'll encourage you even when you're freaking out. He'll be there to encourage you. And be of good cheer, folks, because we're on the winning side. We've overcome. We're on the winning side. One of these days, we're going to be up in heaven. And then be of good cheer in the hope of cheering others, so that we can be a blessing to others in the hope of cheering others. Praise the Lord. Be of good cheer. Amen? Boy, the Lord spoke those at times when it's like, be of good cheer. What are you talking about, Lord? This is the worst of times. No, be of good cheer, because I'm right here for you. And I've not forsaken you. And he loves you. And he loves me. So praise the Lord. He tells us to be of good cheer. Let's bow our heads. We'll go before the Lord in prayer. We'll have a hymn of invitation here in a moment. Father, we just thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for these exhortations that you gave. You gave this to the disciples. You gave it to the Apostle Paul. You said, be of good cheer. Even during the toughest of times, that palsied man who was, he couldn't even move. And he was on that stretcher. And you said, be of good cheer. Thy sins are forgiven thee. And then a little while, you healed him. But what a wonderful thing. I'm sure in that man's heart, he thought, my sins are forgiven. Lord, thank you that you've forgiven us of our sins, and you've given us eternal life for those of us that know you here. But thank you, Lord, that we're to be of good cheer for the fact that you've helped us to overcome. Because you overcame, we can overcome. Thank you, Lord, that you tell us to be of good cheer when we're going through trials. Thank you, Lord, that you tell us to be of good cheer so that we can cheer others. Would you help us, Lord, to do that? And so may we respond today, Lord. If you've spoken to hearts, Lord, help us to simply trust you today and do what you've called us to do. We pray, Lord, that we've had ears to hear. We ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen.